Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and today we have a special episode for you, one that we've been cooking up for a while now, and it's the idea of discussing the Behemoth project, the Beatles anthology, and all of its parts and all of that. And we thought it would be fun to make our best of anthology for the audio tracks and distill all those six CDs or down to one very difficult to make 80-minute.
Tell me about it, Dave.
80-minute CD with what we think are the best and most interesting. I don't know. We'll find out what the criteria is, because as usual, Chris and I don't know what each other has picked and put together for this compilation, so it should be fun to get into. And I wanted to ask you, but to get things started here, you and I have a lot of history with the anthology, and you want to kind of tell everybody about that. I'm looking at some of it.
Well, Dave, we've got a few things here. One, right behind me, I've got the Beatles Anthology sweater that I got when we stood in line at Best Buy in Champaign, Illinois. And we got the Beatles Anthology the night it came out. They were giving out free merch like that. I also have my ABC as Rock hat on. because ABC was where the Beatles Anthology special was just on the air. And of course, I've got my big stack here of the three anthologies that fit together to make a pretty picture. And also, I've got two CD singles here, Free as a Bird and Real Love.
So, yes, got it all.
I got everything anthology possible.
Yes.
Yeah, but you and I, we went and we bought it together. And we couldn't wait to get home and put it in.
It was a big deal. I mean, this was we were in college, and I remember the way they broadcast, and we'll talk about, we actually decided that we're going to talk about the video part of it at a later date, but they broadcast the new song at the end, Free as a Bird, and I remember going in to, it was late at night, and I was out, and I couldn't watch it live, so I came back and was on my VCR, and I remember rewinding it. It was like 11:30 at night, and my roommates were sleeping. So there I am, quietly trying. I couldn't go to bed without hearing "Free as a Bird." And then I remember the timer at the end. It was like counting down for the new Beatles song, and it was a big moment, I think, for our generation, especially. It was kind of the first new Beatles product for second generation fans. And I mean, it's new for everybody, but especially for us, because we didn't grow up through all the new ones. It was very exciting.
Yeah, and of course it would have stuff that you had heard before in bootlegs, but in real, probably poor audio quality.
Yeah.
Those tracks being amped up, and then maybe some stuff that never heard before, never seen the light of day before then. One thing I was struck by when I got it and now looking through it was the high quality of the booklet that comes with it, with the instructions. Sort of a precursor. I think this was, they're still doing a great job with this, obviously, with the new Super Deluxe box sets. And now feeling these CDs out, it's real. I don't know about you, Dave, but my eyesight's gotten worse over the years.
It's happening,
so,
yes.
Reading these in the booklet and the size I have makes me very much want to buy album versions of like LP versions of these, because too small. Too small to read through.
I agree.
Well done and well packaged. And of course, all three of the albums were thought, the pictures sort of fit together.
Thanks to one of our Beatle friends that we talked about, Klaus Voormann, with his poster or painting, putting all those three together. And then the notes you mentioned were by Mark Lewison, so that certainly helped with the credibility. So really good quality notes and quality information. And it was an impressive package, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
Because we're talking 1995 is when this came out.
No Giles Martin involvement with this. I wonder if these would be different today if they were done by Giles Martin. I don't know. What do you think about
Yeah,
that?
I think we can kind of compare a little bit with the fact that he has done these recent sets and maybe some of the things that he's chosen for to display on the Sgt. Pepper and the White Album and the Abbey Road box sets. They're more generous because they're one album, so you can get a lot more into things, but
Yeah.
it's, yeah, I remember that when George Martin, of course, did the anthology, I remember people were asking him during interviews, and this is not what Giles says, so this is George saying, "I don't know why people would want to hear this stuff. I don't know, we made the album, we made the songs, why do people want to hear these leftovers?" More or less is what his answer was, and obviously we did, because they were big sellers, and the anthology was a big deal with the book and the video and the CDs, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, do you still think there's a... I mean, I just answered that question, but there is still a market and an interest in hearing these leftovers, certainly.
Oh, certainly. Certainly, and it's almost like... you know, as much as I've been digging through the anthology this week, it's like, oh man, I want to hear this. I want to hear that. There's like more out there that I want to hear.
Yeah.
And some of these, even I'm thinking now, could probably be cleaned up and improved a little bit, particularly the early stuff on the first disc. It's real grainy, like
real rough sounding,
real rough, like you know, Ichi or a Cayenne.
Yeah, that's the worst. I think that is definitely the worst.
Yeah,
but
you don't have Cayenne on your list of here.
I didn't make the list, unfortunately. I wanted to hear what your thought was about one of the criticisms of the CDs and the choice of the George Martin is that people didn't like that he made kind of Frankenstein songs. So he would take element like a demo from one song and then hook it on to the real song, the finished version, or he would kind of splice things together. It was a little bit like Love, but with the same song. So kind of putting, and I think we probably pick some of those songs maybe on our list.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. And, you know, maybe Giles could have, would have done a little bit better on some of the tracks now than George did then. But I think it was valuable to have like quote unquote definitive versions of a few tracks that just hadn't existed before in their full form in an official release.
Right.
So yeah, I didn't have a problem. What about you? Did you?
No, I think he probably did the best with what he had. In some cases, you want to showcase one of those rare outtakes, but it doesn't really work. It's only 45 seconds or something, and it would be kind of weird on its own. So you maybe merge it together with the real song or a different take, and it doesn't bother me as much as some people. Like, I was looking through reviews this week, and whew, some fire, people on fire about that. I'm just like, aren't we happy to have these songs?
Yeah, what are you just... jeez.
Yeah, it's easy to complain.
It's eye-rolling to me.
I know.
A couple other questions, Dave. One is, do you think we'll ever... So, this, other than a few tracks that have been redone, and so there's but it's exactly the anthology version, so you get a higher grade version of it now streaming. These aren't in super high def now. They're not, that, you know, it's 20 years old technology. Are we going to ever get a re-release of the anthology?
I doubt it. I actually think I was fairly surprised because I played one of them. I think the first one I played on my CDs. No, I played the first one on streaming, and then the second one was, and third were on my CDs. I was surprised they actually sound pretty decent for the time, for 1995. Especially the later, obviously the later songs sound better, but I don't know. I would be nice to have some
like
of
Dolby
those.
Atmos mixes of
I think they're putting their effort into the boxes, and they've put their effort into the bigger stuff. So I don't know if we need to hear one of the tracks from Abbey Road or Sgt. Pepper remastered, yeah, because we already have the box set, which has a lot more stuff. So that would be
okay,
my take.
And the similar answer then probably for will there ever be an anthology, say, 4?
No, I don't think so. I'd want to know what you'd put on it. Maybe.
Well, they found that one song recently. They'd paid substantial amount of money so they're still discovering some things, right?
Like stuff that's come since 1995.
Yeah, that's just been found since then. You know?
Yeah.
Additionally, some of the older stuff, like we were talking when we talked about the German tour and the Zulat.
Yes.
that with the technology they have now that he used on the Touring Years documentary.
Oh, the Hollywood Bowl film. Yeah, or Hollywood Bowl concerts.
Yeah, he could use maybe some of that to aid some of these early performances and, get us some of that. So I don't know. I think it's within the realm of possibility.
I do, yeah.
That they could be like, you know what, we really want higher grade technology versions of these, so let's do that, and as we do that, we'll release a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
An interesting idea. The difference now is that, and by the time if they were to come up with it, that at the time George was still alive and still involved in the project, and mm-hmm. now, I mean, give it a few more years, who knows, the interest and who's still around to be involved. So
mm-hmm.
that's one of the interesting questions that I think the whole Beatle enterprise will be dealing with soon.
What happens when Ringo and Paul
exactly.
are beyond who's running the show then, you know,
right.
who's making the decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll see, but I think it's probably low on the priority list to revisit this anthology stuff. But we're going to definitely revisit it.
Yes,
right
we
now
are.
With
yes.
So Dave and I both messaged back and forth how absolutely difficult this was to like get down to an 80 minutes or less thing. At one point I was sitting at 1 hour 26 and I was like, that's it. I can't go any lower than this and not ruin this thing.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing to me, Dave? And then I finally was like, okay, I guess I'll cut this. I'll cut that. And we could talk maybe a little bit as you read your list and I read my list, like, oh, that was on my list, but mm-hmm. I cut it for time and, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
There is a few things that I'd probably preamble with, at least for my own list. I don't know if you probably have some similar things that you've found as you were putting your list together. One thing for me was, though there were 3 or 4 tracks I thought might be worthy of it, I have no live tracks.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
At all. Okay. And there are certainly some worthy tracks out there, but it was almost as I was listening to this, found those live tracks very distracting. Kind of like, yeah. And typically, as I listen to anthology, I'll skip past the live stuff.
And that, by the way, was one of the complaints of the album originally. I think you and I made that complaint, too. You'd get these great studio outtakes, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand from a live performance that we've already heard several times, or it just seemed to break up. The flow wasn't great in that first one, especially.
Yeah. And I almost think that looking back on this, if I could give them a recommendation, it's to, like, take out all the live stuff. Put it on a separate release.
Yeah, Beatles Live.
And then
Live.
Have a separate release of Beatles Live that's got, oh man, you get, because there are some great performances that you get in the anthology, but I just couldn't justify, I don't know, there, and then live performances were pretty much like, you know, like they are on the record.
Yeah, carbon copies.
So there's very... Yeah, there were a few that I, and I, if you have a few on yours, they might be the ones that I ended up cutting from mine. But at first, I had a few of them on there, particularly the one yesterday where he's like, opportunity knocks for Paul McCartney.
Classic. It was
a very funny one thing. You know, there's some great moments in those, and I'm glad that they're in the anthology, but I almost wish that it was a separate.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Idea. Maybe that's a better, instead of maybe Anthology 4 could be live, Best of Beatles Live or something from, get the Sweden shows and some of the American shows, things like that. That would be a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I really, really wanted to put a Decca in here, but I just didn't. I was trying to. Sheik of Araby is probably the best sounding of it. But there's a line at night as you sleep into your tent, I'll creep. And I was like, I really listened to that lyric, and I was like, ugh, maybe I'll pull that from here.
Awful song anyway. Just really awful.
Yeah, I like those Deccas a lot more than you do. I think when we had a Decca,
yes,
we came across that. So
yeah, well, it was difficult to put it together, and we should also preface this by saying that they did this already. Kind of, there was when they put the anthology on iTunes in 2011, and they did there was an album called Anthology Highlights.
Yeah.
But
I purposefully have not looked at that.
Me neither.
So
I didn't look
I'm
going
to be interested
all.
To pull it up after the episode ends.
Yes, and see
and
what
see
they
what's
chose.
On there.
Yeah. So the way I went about it was picking. Some of them were for a little bit of nostalgic reasons, just songs that I kind of have good feelings about that also were interesting. But mainly I tried to pick things that I thought were important to the Beatles story somehow, or that had a big relevance to where they were. And so I think you'll see that as the case. And that's why I did include, I think only maybe one or two live tracks, so not many. But that's why I include a little bit of that. But it was difficult. And then I tried also not to have too much duplication with the later albums that have come out. So...
That definitely creeps in where you're like, this is on the White Album.
Yeah, Escher demos or stuff like that. And I did, I think I maybe included one or two, but you don't have too much that's already on the later sets because we're doing this in July 2020 where we already have all these sets out. So we won't pretend like we were back in 1995 again.
Well, and you know me, Dave, I love an alternate version that sounds like an alternate version.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an alternate version and it's pretty much the exact same thing but without drums or something, you know, very rarely did I favor those over other tracks. But I generally just pick tracks that I liked.
Yeah.
The most.
That's a good reason.
You know? So that sounded good.
So, yeah. That's nothing wrong with that.
All right. Do you want to start or should
sure.
I start? Or?
So we'll start the way it just worked out that we put together our lists essentially chronologically from Anthology 1, 2, and 3 in order. So that makes things a little bit easier. I put mine into a Spotify playlist and I'll post that. If you make yours into an Amazon list or?
Yeah, mine's in an Amazon list and I can send you the link for that after this so
we can
share both of them.
Yeah,
so.
Excellent. All right. Well, I should say here are the stats here. I have 31 songs and it totals 1 hour, 18 minutes because 80 minutes was our limit. So I got in two under here. And yours?
Is what exactly 80 minutes and 29 songs.
Perfect. Okay.
So, and it goes chronologically. There is one track that appeared on the Anthology 1 that is not at the start of the list, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It'll be obvious when we get to it.
Okay, got it.
So, all right, let's do
take
five at a time, maybe, and
yeah, five at a time.
Budget and... at the end.
Yeah, that sounds good. So first, I have In Spite of All the Danger.
Oh,
My Bonnie, Like Dreamers Do.
Wow.
Hello, Little Girl, and Love Me Do, and so I can give you the reasons here.
Yep.
So in spite of all the danger, one of the earliest originals that was discovered, and that was a big, big thing for us. I remember when we heard those, that'll be the day. And this one, this is a McCartney Harrison composition, and Paul still plays it. So I thought it was important for that. My Bonnie was really important for the Beatles with Tony Sheridan, because that was the first time they were really kind of exposed to a bigger audience, and it's important for Brian Epstein. And then two from the Decca sessions, so Like Dreamers Do and Hello Little Girl, a Paul and a John song to show their early writing, and they're fun songs. And then finally, Love Me Do, I chose that version to show how Pete Best was not the right drummer for the Beatles. It's kind of to show from their first real session kind of how it just wasn't the right fit. So, but it was also an important early song.
Dave, I have exactly zero of those on my list.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great. I'm glad.
Well, yeah. You know, fire away. Shied away. I understand and get why those were included, and of course they're all very important. But I don't find any of those to be particularly listenably enjoyable.
Oh, come on. You don't like Hello Little Girl or
not really.
like dreamers do.
My Bonnie maybe would be the one that would be the hardest cut of those, but I really struggled to find too many pre the Beatles big time tracks to include, but I did include, and I start my list with Cry for a Shadow.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then the instrumental, of course, which used to open our show.
That's right. That's right. It was, yeah, it was our opener.
And then I've got the Please Please Me.
Okay.
Can't Buy Me Love. A great little alternate version there of Can't Buy Me Love, for sure. And I Love Her, which is that sort of like with the drums. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. You know, like a very different sounding And I Love Her. And then a song I think could have just been released as is here and been a number one hit single, and that's, even though it's a minute and 31, and that's Shout.
Oh, interesting choice. Huh.
Yeah. So I know that Shout's not there, you know, they didn't write Shout or anything like that, and it's just like, but that was like a staple of their early live shows.
Yeah.
And here it's very interesting because I think all three people sing on it a little bit. And yeah, I just found it when I was listening to Anthology 1, it just kind of stood out. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go.
It's real. Like it's got that early Beatles amped up kind of real like rocking, dancing, everybody's into it kind of song. Yeah.
Yeah. And so those five, they really cook along, and that version of And I Love Her is definitely a different vibe, different feel. Mm-hmm. So with Please Please Me and Cry for Shadow. And so it's like really cooking along my playlist here. Very energetic.
I thought about Cry for a Shadow as well, but I went with My Bonnie because it was more significant in terms of getting them famous. But they're both, we love Cry for a Shadow. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next five here, there's a little bit of overlap. So I had How Do You Do It, which, again, for reasons I'll explain, She Loves You, which is the version from the Prince in front of the Queen, the Prince of Wales Theater. All My Loving from the Ed Sullivan Show. And I Love Her also that you chose. And then I'll Be Back, the demo version from that, which I thought was really interesting. It was very heavy, waltzy kind of feel, and it's not great. Like there's a lot of kind of, they're learning the song clearly, but I think it's really interesting to hear the process.
Yeah. That's my number six, by the way.
Just perfect. So perfect.
We'll get that out of the way. So that's that definitely is a real standout track there. So run past those other.
So
four
How Do You
again.
Do It? Which
I could see that being added, but
It was to, and then followed up by She Loves You, and that was intentional to show how they were really phoning it in on how do you do it. And then you listen to She Loves You, which is their song, and it just rocks so much harder, and it's just, there's so much more into it. And same with All My Loving, which is after that from the Ed Sullivan, and then yeah. And I Love Her, which is, it's that song, which if you didn't know this version, which I don't think we knew it before Anthology, you always think of it as such a pretty ballad, and it's got the classical guitar on it and that sound, but yet it was a pretty rockin' hard song in that demo.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting how many of these are a little different as they're starting it.
Right.
And when they're within a not quite Bob Dylan levels of like, you get like a version that's absolutely completely different feel,
song, yeah.
Different song basically, except for the same lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few examples of that here that are, it's like, oh, that's really a lot different.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I sort of favored those, obviously.
Oh, definitely.
Over other ones. But yeah, the live All My Lovin', obviously, was one of the few live tracks that I had.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Classic.
On my list. It's very classic. So I can see including that. Okay. So my 6, as I said, was I'll Be Back.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7, I had You Know What to Do.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And then No Reply, the demo version.
Yes.
Where they keep going, Your Face. Yes, it is with the die.
I always think of you with that one. Yeah.
And It's Only Love, the Anthology 2 version. Let's go back over those.
Yeah.
You Know What to Do. There's the Harrison song that they just quickly shut down and it kind of ruined George's confidence for a while. But it's not bad. It's, very listenable.
That was actually on my... That was the one I cut last because I thought I've got... because the George really gets heavy by the end of my best of. So
sure.
I thought I'll cut the early one, even though I do think it is interesting and it is listenable and could have done something with it.
Yeah, I'm listening to it here and I'm like, why didn't they just like...
yeah.
Work on it.
Like try
it's
not, it.
It's, yeah. It's more interesting than some of the ones they were doing at that time.
Right.
And then both No Reply and Yes It Is being goofs, but so entertaining, even though there's flubs in them, And then It's Only Love. Yeah, I like this version of It's Only Love. What do you think of it?
It's good. That was another one I'd forgotten about that version. Lennon sounds so good on there. He sounds really Dylan-esque. But it is, a song that he always said he didn't like or it was rubbish or something. But I think it's effective, and he just sounds. I was listening to it under headphones, and I thought, wow, it's excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
And the guitar really stands out on that version,
right?
Whereas it's it gets more like the electric. Rhythm guitar gets more of a prominence in the official version.
Right. No, that's good. And I think we'll see some overlap here from me coming up next here. So I started my next round with No Reply, the same one, because you have to have that with your face and the cracking up and the whole thing. It's the best. And then when we talked about Beatles for Sale, we mentioned that Leave My Kitten Alone was not put on that album, and it probably should have been, or it was a good contender, so I put Leave My Kitten Alone. Then, and this may surprise you, but That Means a Lot, which I've always kind of had a weak spot for that song, and I love the reverb, it just sounds so unusual for anything they were doing at that time. It just didn't, it was an odd song. And a unique kind of Paul tune. Then the Yesterday demo version, where Paul is kind of talking through the chords at the beginning. I think that's really effective without the strings.
Yeah.
And then finally, Norwegian.
That was a hard cut.
Yeah, it's a beautiful demo. And then I finish with Norwegian Wood, with George kind of hamming his way through the sitar part, kind of clunky, but it's the kind of the first time you hear it, and real out of tune at the end. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's a good version.
It's got sort of a different, like a slower kind of feel, groove
different
to it.
Groove.
You don't quite have the groove together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting list there. That means a lot. It's on my list here.
Oh, good. Okay. So, I was worried that you were going to think you were going to go like, oh no, that one's terrible. No.
No, I mean, no. Here's the thing too. It's like a new song we haven't heard from the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Give it to me.
Right.
You know, it might not be the best in their catalog, but geez, that means a lot's probably better than every little thing she does does for me.
Yeah, that's true. So Leave My Kitten Alone, That Means a Lot, No Reply, Yesterday in Norwegian Wood.
Well, I've got If You've Got Trouble here at 11.
You did.
I had to have it. I had to have that. I mean, it's Ringo, and it's not. That's not the worst Ringo there has ever been.
No, there are worse. Yeah.
You know, and it's. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I find some of the guitars a little irritating. but I've been rocking to it, and then I immediately after That Means a Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the Giggles version of And Your Bird Can Sing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just so much enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
so much fun. I can't, you know, and this whole thing for me, I'm like, this is fun. So let's have a fun record that sounds good and is a lot of fun. So had to have And Your Bird Can Sing. Then I have the fantastic version of I'm Looking Through You.
Mm-hmm.
The clicky click click click, click, click start and the blue 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 guitars,
mm-hmm.
just really great. And then number 15 here is the take one of Strawberry Fields with the slow doom 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 version
no
of that.
No one I think is in my tree.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that is on, and we were getting into a field where that's on the, you know, newer release in probably a better form, but
at the time though, it was really like revolutionary for us to hear, because I'd heard a bootleg, I think, because there was not really YouTube or anything at that time, but I remember getting a bootleg CD at Fest for Beatle Fans, Beatle Fest or something, and it had like a whole sequence of like seven versions of Strawberry Fields, and it was really kind of eye-opening to hear that. And
did you ever go to that record convention that was in Champaign on campus?
I did. I went one year. Yeah.
I went to that, and I would buy all these bootleg tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I bought a bootleg CD and paid like 50, 60 bucks for a Velvet Underground that I'd never heard. And then I realized it was Doug Yule Velvet Underground.
Oh, no.
It was the most ripped off I've ever felt.
Yeah, buyer beware. That's
so.
Wow.
Yeah, what do you think of those? If You Got Trouble?
I don't like the song, and I think Ringo, well, they always joke about the time where he says, okay, rock on, anybody. Like, you
that
know,
is
it,
funny.
They're phoning it in. But it's not bad. Again, it's an interesting, like, That Means a Lot. It's a actual Beatles song that was recorded. So
yes.
There's something valuable in that.
Yeah. So that's part of why I favored it. And then, of course, Andrew Bird Can Sing with the Giggles.
Yes,
and,
you'll hear. I've got that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so let's go to your next five here.
Yeah, so we're going to have some crossover here. So I've got I'm Looking Through You as well, which is such a great version and such a great song. Then I put Tomorrow Never Knows Take One, which, again, I remember watching on the extras for the anthology video, George, like all you hear is the drums going, and George is sort of dancing along with it, and he's kind of like laughing get that repetitive hypnotic loop. So, but it obviously an important Beatles song, and it's important to see how where it came from. Then "And Your Bird Can Sing," because of the laughing and the stonedness of it is just classic.
Yeah.
"When Your Bike Is Broken," great lyrical stuff. John having a good time. John and Paul having
okay.
Yeah, that's right. Then "Strawberry Fields," same one you picked, and then I finished with "Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite," which I love when he says "For the benefit of Mr. Kite" right at the beginning.
Yeah, that was that nearly missed the cut for me for sure.
Yeah. So, it's, in a way, it's harder to pick some of these because they're all good and interesting, but then I tried to think, well, we've had a lot of this stuff just released recently, so I can be a little more selective. All right, so your next round here.
My next round, we got "Hello Goodbye," take 16, which has just very slightly different, it's more like guitars in it, so that's why I picked up like then we've got the "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," George, followed by "I Will," "Sexy Sadie," and I'm pretty sure you're not gonna have this one on your list, but I definitely have it. "What's the New Mary Jane?"
I knew "What's the New Mary Jane?" I knew it.
Love it.
Wow. Well, that's
so. What's your take on those?
All right. So one, go through them.
We had
here.
"Hello Goodbye."
Yeah, I not a fan of the song that much, so I didn't put it on there. But I like the version.
I almost cut it and then swap back in something, but I was to be honest, I was running so low on Paul in the middle here.
That's you know, I was trying to that was another thing we should have mentioned too. Like I was trying to balance John Paul and then put in a George and some Ringo as well. Yeah.
Similar thinking with "I Will."
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
version's not too far off of the final version of "I Will," but it sounded good, and quite frankly, it was 2 minutes long, so I could,
got some
I could
there.
Squeeze it in without the... of course, that version of "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," we talked ad nauseum about that in the very last episode.
Yes, we did.
And then this version is "Sexy Sadie" with the sort of like... It's almost got like a slower kind of like
good, it's dirty
later night feel to it. It's so good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, great song, great version. That was a hard cut for me. I had that originally.
But... And then I love "What's the New Mary Jane," dude. It's better than it should have replaced "Revolution 9" in my view.
Ooh.
On the album. It is. It's trippy. It's drug trippy. And I know it's like got Mary Jane in the title. And so it's interesting to me because of that. It's sort of like a trip that goes sort of a little off the rails. And then I love that at the end of the clip, they're like, that's the end before we get taken away. And then that's cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of like feels like, oh, they've been on this drug trip and then they got arrested at the end or something.
Yeah.
It sort of has like a doom and gloom kind of feel to a drug trip that's gone wrong to me. So I've always kind of liked it and thought it's a lot better than, you know, El Dorado, you know, and the nonsense that is. Though when we talked about the White Album, I was saying how good that sounded, you know, and there is a Revolution 9 has its place, but I generally enjoy "What's the New Mary Jane."
Well, I was just thinking we may have a good episode either comparing "What's the New Mary Jane" and "Revolution 9" or a song under the microscope. "What's the New Mary Jane" might be pretty interesting too, because it's very odd kind of song and
all together now.
Yeah, it's. I'll give it another listen. I usually just skip it because I've never really liked it much. But I'll, in light of what you said, I will give it another try. But I didn't want to put it in because
do a bunch of drugs there.
Yeah, that helps. I didn't want to put it in because it chewed up too much time because it was like 6 minutes or something. Or
yeah, it's 6 minutes 12 seconds. Yeah. So it did. It did. At times, I was thinking about cutting it just for that reason alone.
Yeah,
just to get a few more tunes in there. But I you know, it, once again, it's one of the highlights of the getting the anthology was getting these songs that you'd never heard before.
Fair point.
And this is a full version. All, you know, the audio of it's excellent.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, fair point.
You know, sounds really good in stereo. So one thing I wanted to quickly say is there, Sexy Sadie, I could have put pretty much any John White Album song on this.
Yeah. Cause they're
Cry
all good.
Cry Baby Cry was in there for the longest time and I had to yank it because and all of those obviously are covered again on the White Album thing, but they all sound so good.
Yeah, they do. So a little bit of overlap here. I put on I Am the Walrus because I thought that take was really good, and it's kind of a stripped down version of it, and it allows you to hear John better and without all the extra stuff on top.
Everybody's Got One.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Then I put two from Escher demos. I did put them in just because to show John and Paul. So Happiness is a Warm Gun for the Yoko, no, no.
Yep.
Yoko, no, yes. and then to contrast that with Junk, because I think that's really beautifully played and sung, and it's a good version from Paul.
Yeah, that was one of the hardest cuts.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, it's a good version. And then Across the Universe is fantastic. That's my preferred version of Across the Universe. I know that's not one of your favorite songs, but it's the Indian type version with the Indian drone and bells, and it's just really kind of meditative.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished with While My Guitar Gently Weeps because you have to have that on there because was a revelation too.
It was just like a thunderbolt striking.
definitely.
Very good.
Yeah.
So that was you're through 25 at this point.
I don't even know because I don't have numbers on it. Just
oh, you don't have numbers?
No, I know I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so I have 7 left, and I have 31. So
wow,
26.
I don't know how you cut all of these, but here's my next
uh-oh.
Five.
Okay,
Not Guilty. Gotta have Not Guilty. Good God, excellent. You know, we've talked a little bit. I think there's a better version sitting, maybe even waiting out there. I need to listen to the one that's on the White Album compilation to see if I like that one better than this one. But this one has some edits in it and is one of those sort of cobbled together to get the best version tunes out there. But love Not Guilty. Wish it was part of regular Beatles stuff, you know, big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm So Tired. This version's really great, and I'm So Tired. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Yes.
And I couldn't leave it off. and what is great is I have I'm So Tired. It's followed by She Came In Through the Bathroom Window, and ooh. It sounds like they're kind of playing the same tune. Like they end up playing, they're very similar.
Same key.
You don't realize it until you got them back to back.
Yeah.
So it sort of sounds like Paul and John are like, hey, let me do my version of something that goes with these chords. So, and I really like this. She came in through the bathroom window. In the end, you get the sort of like John's in the back. Oh, yeah. That kind of thing. Really great.
Yeah.
And then I got Something,
mm-hmm.
which is another sort of raw George version of that. And then I got Come and Get It.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's... We have a lot of similarities there, because I'm at the end of my list now. I've got my last 7, so.
Any of those that you didn't have there? Not Guilty. I'm So Tired.
Yeah.
Came in Through the Bathroom Window. Something and Come and Get It.
So I didn't have. She Came In Through the Bathroom Window, or Something. I chose a different song from the same recording session, and then I'm so tired. That is so good. I mean, it, yeah. Well, I think of the. I was thinking, looking through these and thinking of the recent box sets. I want to say the White Album box set's my favorite of the three so far, because it just changes, it blows your mind. Not only the remix, but the alternate versions, and there's so much stuff. So, yeah, that I agree with you. That is a great song and a great classic. So, and then what was the? There was a.
Come and get it.
Oh yeah,
So
I've got
I'm so
that.
to yeah, I figured you'd have that
Yes,
one. So
definitely. So my last round here, I've got Not Guilty, of course, and it's a very muddy version. I think it has sounded better in recent years on the box set, and in the, I think I know what you're talking about. There's another version floating around that sounds better.
Yeah, I think on the off-white cassette
That's
that
what it
I
is.
have,
Yeah, that must be what it is.
it's like a bootleg in it, and just like has a great version of that.
And then I had Why Don't We Do It in the Road, because it's Paul doing like every type of Paul voice. So we've got screaming Paul, we've got ballad Paul, we've got wailing, we got everything all in one little song. Like he's trying to figure out which one he's gonna sing it with. So I like it for that reason. I picked The Long and Winding Road because it's that was also a big deal when it came out, because we I think I'd heard versions before, but it was nice to hear a clean, good mix of without the Phil Spector orchestration.
Terribly hard cut for me,
Yeah,
that
that
was,
was a hard
so.
one, I know. And my only Let It Be song actually too, so because I found, I don't know about you, but I found the Let It Be selections or Get Back sessions kind of forgettable or skippable, like the oldies and some of the half-hearted versions.
Shake, you know, like shake it up with
Shake, rattle,
what
and
is it?
roll, and yeah, I get what they were
Mailman,
doing.
Get Me No More Blues didn't make it for you.
No, didn't get there. No. So I picked The Long and Winding Road. Then my only Ringo, Octopus's Garden, I had to get that on there. Come and Get It, of course. And then I finished as a way to kind of wrap up everything. All Things Must Pass, the George version by himself again, is kind of a moving on to the future sort of thing.
Wow. Well,
So,
pretty good, pretty good. Not bad, Dave. Not
yeah.
bad. I finished d differently here, and I think it also sort of like does the similar thing. I have my last four here. Let It Be,
Yeah.
which this version of Let It Be is not the preferred greatest version of Let It Be. Very sloppy. But I like it. I like the sound of it, and you know, then they're like, oh, you know, at the end they're like, oh, we're gonna record it. Oh no, you know, they're goofing off, and it's a oh, it starts with him with John saying like, we're supposed to sneeze in the chorus or
Oh, that's,
something like that.
are we supposed to giggle in the solo?
Oh
That's
yeah, we're supposed to go giggle at the solo, yeah. So really fun, but sort of like Let It Be, you know. But then it's sort of like Let It Be is like the almost the end, right, of the group, and then All Things Must Pass is sort of like you're using it, sort of reflecting on what's happened. And then I couldn't leave that because out of there, which we talked a lot about because in the last episode. I couldn't leave that vocal only because almost like they're echoing to us from heaven, right? And then, Dave, I can't, where's Free as a Bird in your list?
Well,
What the
I
hell are you
didn't
doing?
I
What
I
the
didn't put
hell?
the I didn't put those songs, Real Love or Free as a Bird, on there. I didn't put them on there because I figured they would, like, they'd, well, it was a hard decision because I wasn't sure if we wanted to consider them in the same category as these other songs. So I
I
kept them off
understand.
just for that reason. But obviously I would put Free as a Bird. If I had an extra 4 minutes, I would put on for sure. Yeah. And I understand why. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I put "Free as a Bird" in there. Is sort of like it. It's sort of like, oh, it's over, and then it's like they're
but they're back.
But they're here. They are. They're back, floating back from heaven or something.
Yeah.
Good. So it wraps it up. So I've got a lot more Anthology 3 than you have. Mm-hmm. I have like tracks 17 through 29. So that's 12 tracks there. 13 tracks.
Yeah. And I have more early stuff than you do.
Yeah, I have 8 of Anthology 1 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of Anthology 2 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Well, I think that runs pretty well. And now, just for fun, shall we... I have it here.
Oh, yeah.
To see what
haven't even looked at it.
Yep, let's see how we did.
Anthology highlights. All right. Okay. So they start with "Free as a Bird." Not a great way to start it.
No,
I get it. I get why they started with that. "One After 909."
Okay.
Not a great version of that. That was just not listenably great.
No, audio was bad.
That means a lot.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what, and they jumbled it up.
All over the place. Okay. Yeah.
"Leave My Kitten Alone."
Mm-hmm.
"And If You Got Trouble."
Okay. All right. So we between the two of us, that's how we can grade ourselves. Do we have these? And so we have everything except "One After 909 between us.
Yeah. Which I understand why they included it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So then number 6, Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, I had that one.
Which you had. "Mr. Moonlight." Neither of us had that one. "Kansas City, Hey, 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 Hey." That was a live version. None of us had that one.
Yep.
8 Days a Week. Now, that was a pretty good one.
Ooh. Yeah. That was in the running.
That was in the running.
On my list.
Yeah.
For a while.
And then "I'm Looking Through You." So we both had that.
Mm-hmm. Then yesterday, I don't know if this is the live version or what. Mm. Hard to say playing it.
Yeah.
I think I would have, had I had yesterday, I would have chosen that live version where he gets an introduction from George, and George says, "For Paul McCartney, opportunity knocks."
Right.
Then there's the "Tomorrow Never Knows," take one that you've got there. Mm-hmm. "Strawberry Fields Forever," take one. We both get an A+ on that one.
Yep.
And "Cross the Universe," that one you had, that one. And then "Something,"
which
the
you
Anthology
had.
3 with. So, not bad.
Not bad. No, we're pretty close. Then "Not Guilty," which we both had. "Octopus's Garden," I had. "All Things Must Pass," also. Mm-hmm. And then we both had "Come and Get It."
Yep.
And then "Good Night." Interesting choice. That was the version that's real stripped down with just Ringo in the I think George Martin is playing piano on that one.
Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Had I had another 30 minutes on mine, it would have made the cut, probably.
Yeah.
And then we got "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," of course, which we both had.
Yep.
"Long and Winding Road," which you had, and "Real Love," which neither of us had, and is definitely the inferior of the two. I really like the "Real Love," just John playing it by himself.
The original.
It's on the Imagine soundtrack,
yes.
I believe.
That's right, yeah. And the video for "Real Love" is actually pretty good, because you can see the Threedles in the studio a lot, and it shows them recording it, so I like that.
Some Jeff Lynne? Is there some Jeff Lynne in
Jeff
there?
Jeff Lynne is in All there, right. too. Yes, super friend of the show, Jeff Lynne is in there as well.
Had to mention him.
Yes. So I guess we did pretty well.
I was prepared to laugh at the Anthology highlights, like, haha, look at this foolish stuff they've picked. But the listening to this Anthology, it's like, oh man, this is all so great.
Mm-hmm. It is, it
you
really
know.
Is. So
it was so very hard to cut things because there's so many good things in the Anthology. I don't really take the Anthology out and give it too much of a spin, and I need to do it more, Dave.
Me too. It was good to do it, I think, because I'd forgotten about some of the tracks that were on there and some of the versions that you and I like I said at the beginning, nostalgia. I remember you and I especially listened to that first Vert album a lot because of the "And I Love Her," and then the 8 Days a Week, and "No Reply," and you know, making fun of all the quirks and things on there. Yeah. So
the second one, I just remember the second one being like the first one was good, but it had way too much of that early kind of like unlistenably gritty.
Yeah,
the type things and too much of the live stuff.
Yes.
The second one is such in my sweet spot with so many great tracks in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably we would have had more on this list had there not been releases of Strawberry Fields, you know.
Yeah.
Not much Strawberry Fields made our cut here because that Strawberry Fields set so excellently covered it. But the second one is so excellent that you can see the disc is missing because it's in my take to the car kind of
nice thing.
Still from whenever I had last had a car. So I think the second set's probably the best of the three.
Even then, with the there's some live stuff on there too from Budokan. We have Rock and Roll Music and She's a Woman.
Yeah, but, they're all good.
But
they're
it's
all
good.
They all sound
in
really
Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
There's a few. Yeah, Help is on there. Ticket to Ride. So there is some live stuff, but it seems to work better, maybe. I don't know. It works better than on the first one.
The first one, it just seemed like there was a lot of live stuff back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's sort of like, okay, well, and there were very straightforward versions of it. So, you know, I mean, most of their live stuff was exactly the version you'd hear on the record by design. But, you know, so, you know, maybe that hurts it a little bit in our eyes. And then the last disc is good, but like you said, it gets in depending on how your mileage. What is the phrase? Everybody has like your mileage may vary on your enjoyment of noodling. Let It Be sessions.
Yeah.
stuff, but Mailman Get Me No More Blues and stuff like that. But
well, it'll be interesting.
I kind of like it probably more than your average guy likes, but
yeah. Well, that's why it'll be even more interesting to see what Giles Martin comes up with for the actual Get Back, Let It Be box set when that comes out next year.
Because
we can compare it to this and see, you know, did they pick the best stuff or did they leave a lot of good stuff out that we haven't heard? So, but very good. We're going to leave it to you now. Chris and I will both post our links to our Best of Anthology, and then we'd love to hear your critiques. Or did we completely blow it by not including Cayenne? Or
I can't believe I'm not listening anymore. You guys did have,
Hallelujah.
Like,
I love
her
so.
How could you even have What's a New Mary Jane in there?
Yeah, yeah. What are you thinking? So we'd love to get some feedback and hear what you think of the anthology, and if you remembered as well.
Of course, you can follow me at Twitter at Chris D. Bragg if you like ranting about politics and a song of the night every night.
And you can always email us at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com, and we'll get back to you there. So, we're still, I don't know, it's the days just sort of go on here, and it's getting a little bit scary still, but at least we've got some more recordings of podcasts, so we hope everybody is staying safe and well, and in the meantime, go check out your anthologies, blow the dust off of your CDs, or go check them out online, and
get your magnifying glass to be the,
if you're getting as old as we are. Oh, sounds good. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back at you again soon.